This is Cover 2, a podcast on the Cleveland Browns.
Hit! Browns are going to win!
Mayfield, Enzone, Landry, touchdown!
With Dan Kadar and Browns beat writer Nate Ulrich of the Akron Beacon Journal and Ohio.com. With Steve Dorshuk from the Canton Repository.
It's intercepted! Picked off by Denzel Ward!
Chubb will take this all the way! 92 yards!
Ready, Browns fans. Now, Cover 2, a podcast on the Cleveland Browns.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Cover 2, our podcast on the Cleveland Browns. This is Dan Kadar, and I'm joined, as always, by Browns beat writer Nate Ulrich. On today's podcast, we are going to look ahead to Thursday night's game against the Denver Broncos. The Browns are starting a three-game home trip, short week, obviously. Then they have a semi-bye, which they badly need because this team is banged up. So we're going to talk about the Broncos game Thursday, but we're going to start by talking about all of the injuries on the Browns, including the latest news and information about quarterback Baker Mayfield, because it doesn't sound too good if you ask me. But before we get to that, let me tell you about the new sports app that we have launched as part of our USA Today family. That's USA Today Sports Plus. It's a new sports app, and it puts you, the fans, first. So if you could, whether you use Apple or Android, download USA Today Sports Plus off the Apple Play Store, the Apple Store, the Google Play Store, excuse me. I'm not used to reading ads or whatever you want to call them, spots. So check out USA Today Sports Plus. It's a fun new thing from USA Today, which and we're part of that family. So check it out, USA Today Sports Plus. So, boy, Nate, I got to tell you, when Baker Mayfield got creamed on Sunday by J.J. Watt, I always text with my friends throughout the game. They're hardcore Browns fans. And I said to them, look, if his labrum wasn't fully torn before, it certainly is now. And come to find out, it's been fully torn this whole time, which leads me to some non-game related questions about NFL rules that we won't get into. But Baker Mayfield said his decision on Thursday is going to be up to him whether or not he plays. That seems a little brash, but what's your take on Baker Mayfield? Should he play? Should he sit? Should it be up to him?
Well, Dan, I think it should be up to him and the Browns medical staff and Kevin Stefanski. So I think it should be a collaborative decision. Certainly, he needs to have a lot of input into how he's feeling and, you know, also what he's able to do on the field in practice today. I can tell you he was throwing. He was in team drills. Did not get to watch the team drills. Got to see him throw very briefly. But the Browns send out photos from practice every day, and he's with the first team offensive line and team drills in a photo they sent out. So that was an indication of that participation in team. He's listed as a limited participant. So it's going to be a matter of how he was able to handle himself in practice, the Browns' confidence and his ability to protect himself out there on the field, and how his body responds to a day of practice, and if he can feel good enough Thursday. I think that this probably will be a game day decision. I'm not necessarily saying game time, like, 90 minutes before kickoff. You know, I'm not necessarily saying it's going to be that close of a call, but I think that the final decision might be made on Thursday. And, you know, I think if this were a Sunday game, Baker Mayfield, you know, it would play be much more clear, but with the Thursday, with the quick turnaround, it complicates everything. Now, if you're asking me, you know, to make a call, what do I think will happen? Right now, I think there are more signs pointing to him playing Thursday than not. So I'm leaning that way. That's the way I would bet if I had to bet.
What makes you say that, just based on the fact that he's still out there practicing and stuff like that? Or is it more so Baker Mayfield, just the guy who's tough as nails and he's just going to give it a go?
Yeah, it's a little bit of all of it. You know, one, he continued to say today that he expects to play. Two, he did practice, albeit as a limited participant. But, you know, if he weren't out there at all, I'd be a lot more skeptical about his chances. But for him to be out there, you know, I think says a lot about how much effort he's putting into getting out there. You know, and he did come back into the game Sunday. Now, you know, he had MRI on Monday. It's Tuesday night when we're recording. He sought a second opinion, had a specialist look at the MRI on Tuesday. You know, I've been told, you know, behind the scenes that there's still no decision, but he's going to try to play. So, you know, he said it on the record today. He expects to play. He said that Sunday night too. The time passed and he didn't change his mind. He felt better today than he did on Monday. He went out and practiced, and behind the scenes, I'm told that he's still going to try to give it a go. We'll see, but I think it is going to be a game day decision. Now, should he play? That's a different decision. That's a different question than will he play?
Yes, very.
Yeah, should he play, Dan? Ah, man, I probably lean toward no if Jack Conklin and Jedrick Wills are out, with the idea that it's just going to be harder for him to protect himself. And, you know, if the Browns are going to be what they want to be this season, you know, right now they're 3-3. That's not what they want to be, but there's 11 games left, plenty of time to be what they want to be and to live up to big expectations. And if any of that's going to happen, it's got to be with Baker Mayfield. You know, I don't see Case Keenum coming in and this team going to the playoffs. I know Case won 11-3 with the Vikings with Kevin Stefanski as his position coach in 2017. So it's not impossible. You know, some years have passed since then, and I just think that, you know, Baker Mayfield gives the Browns their best shot this season to be what they want to be. And, you know, with that in mind, you could give them a nice, you know, week and a half if they did rest him until the next game, October 31st against the Steelers. And we've talked about all along since the schedule came out and whenever it came out in the spring, that really that's when things ratchet up for the Browns. That's the first AFC North game on the schedule. You know, you're right there on the eve of November when the games really start mattering more, and around Thanksgiving, you kind of really know who's who, and you know, the good teams know how to get hot at the right time, to peak at the right time, and that's about the right time to start it. We saw that with the Buccaneers last year. So I don't know. I kind of take the big picture view about whether he should play. But I think the answer to whether he will play, my best guess right now is yes.
Well, there's a couple things I want to ask about here following up on that. The first one being, does this version of Baker Mayfield behind a offensive line that hasn't had their offensive tackles, doesn't have their top two running backs. We'll see about the wide receiver situation again. Like Nate said, we're recording Tuesday night, so we don't know everything about the players who are going to play on Thursday. Baker Mayfield, top of the line, obviously. But this version of Baker Mayfield with all that stuff, Nate, is that really better than what Case Keenum can give the Browns right now? I mean, that's the thing I don't know about, because I know his shoulder's not going to be right until after the season or whenever he chooses to have surgery, but I don't know. I just see a guy who is really broken right now, I guess. Is Case Keenum not better than what Baker Mayfield is in this very moment for this very game?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer either. That's a Kevin Stefanski.
I want your opinion.
Yeah, well, I know that, but my opinion is that there's no way to answer it from my perspective and be fair and accurate to Baker Mayfield. Sure. So, you know, I think that he's played well at times, certainly isn't having the season that he's wanted to. He's played horribly at times, especially in Minnesota. I think the harness has affected his mechanics. You know, he said it shouldn't. He never said no when I asked him if the harness is something affecting his throwing. I think that he is very smart with the way he answers questions in the media, and I think that that answer was telling. So he's certainly not himself. He's certainly not 100%. He's pretty forthcoming about it. You know, today I did ask him about the partially torn labrum in week two, because that's what I was told. He said it was completely torn in week two. So obviously the injury is more severe than he and the Browns and his camp have let on. Now we're hearing more about it. And it's certainly been affected by it, whether it's been the labrum the entire time or the harness, or a combination of it. You're right, Dan. I mean, he is not the full, quarterback that we hope to see. So I don't know what percentage of Baker Mayfield is better than Case Keenum. I mean, I don't know. I kind of feel like that's impossible to answer. I don't know, Dan. I know you want my opinion, but I don't know the answer to that. I don't. And I have to say that right now, if you're making me answer, and I feel a lot of pressure from you, if you're making me answer it, I'm going to say that thus far, Baker Mayfield is the answer, that he is, even with what he's dealing with, is the right choice. And that's because, you know, Kevin Stefanski and he's the guy who should know, and he's rolled with Baker Mayfield thus far. Now, if he sits him down, I know Baker says it's his decision, but Stefanski's the head coach. And if he makes an organizational decision and says, hey, we know you're not yourself, we need you to rest up, look at the big picture. If you can feel a lot better, move a lot better, protect yourself a lot better, operate a lot better, throw a lot better, be more accurate by October 31st. That's going to help us way more than if we put you out there Thursday night and just see what happens. Like, if Stefanski makes that decision, then the answer is Case Keenum. Thus far, the answer has been Baker Mayfield. So I believe that is the right answer. Stefanski is the one who would know and would have the best chance of coming up with the correct answer.
Yeah. The other follow-up question to all that, and this is not a question I want to really dive deep on because there's still a lot of season left to go, but it to me, it's the 500-pound gorilla in the room for the whole season beyond, are the Browns going to make the playoffs and make a Super Bowl run? It is Baker Mayfield's contract situation. Do you think weigh over him at all when he says it's my decision to play? Does it weigh over him when he toughs it out, plays through this stuff, or is that a non-factor, do you think? What's your take on how his contract situation plays into all of this?
Oh, it's the backdrop for everything. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. He probably won't say that publicly, certainly not in the moment, but maybe he will discuss it eventually. But, hey, I mean, to me, there's no doubt about it. The number one priority for him is to win. He said it time and again that if he wins, the contract situation will work itself out, obviously, to his liking, right? If he wins, the Browns believe he's our franchise quarterback and deserves a long-time or long-term contract to match that label, then it all works out, and he believes he gives them the best chance to win because, you know, he's the number one overall pick and an ultra-confident former Heisman Trophy winner. Of course he's going to believe that. So if he believes that, then he is going to do everything he can to get out there, be there for his team. And he said today that, you know, he's not going to hurt the team by playing when he shouldn't, because he wants the team to win. So, like, he's evaluating all this. He might not be the best judge of it because he's biased, right? And he thinks that he can tough it out. Maybe he won't necessarily be able to as well as he thinks he can. But, yeah, I mean, to me, if Baker can fight through this, and he's made 53 consecutive starts, he's never missed a start with the Browns since they made him the starter. If he can gut it out and get healthier, and they kind of shape up and round into form here the way that most people expect that they still can, you know, obviously injuries are going to play a part. They're going to need to get healthy, certainly healthier than they are now. But if things can fall into place for them and he can get them back to the playoffs and gut it out through this shoulder injury, I mean, he's going to have a hell of a case, Dan, in the offseason. If they can go back to the playoffs, even if his numbers aren't, you know, through the roof elite, if he can go back to the playoffs while gutting this out, I think that's a pretty nice feather in his cap. So I think that's in his mind for sure. Like I it would, it's again, it's not going to be something discussed publicly, but it's just human nature.
Very much so. What about the other injury stuff? Is any of it worth really touching on at the moment? I mean, like we've said a couple times now, we're recording this on Tuesday evening, and the Browns are playing Thursday, so it's a weird week to know what to expect when it comes to injury stuff. But the Browns have so many of them, Nate. Are any of them worth touching on briefly here before we really talk about the Denver game?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I were to tell you, well, let's just say, like, okay, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, those are probably three of the best, I don't know, 12 players on the roster. Yeah. Maybe I'm trying to figure out where JOK ranks. I mean, the other two are right. Definitely, sure, you know, top five players on the roster, probably. Certainly top 10 players on the roster. Yes. So anyway, these are three of their better players, and they're all out. So we know that. JOK and Kareem Hunt were placed on injured reserve today, so they must miss at least three games. They're going to miss more than that. Stefanski said that Kareem Hunt's going to miss more than three games of this calf injury, and four to six weeks at the ballpark that his timeline for return is in. And JOK has a high ankle sprain, and that's typically in that 4 to 6 week window too. So the great news is that, you know, I'm looking at this situation, and could be a lot worse. It really could, because, I mean, I know it's been a really bad week, and the Browns are decimated by injuries, and Nick Chubb's going to miss his second consecutive game, and that's not good for Thursday night, especially because Kareem's out too. It's the first time since Hunt and Chubb have been able to play that, you know, in Browns uniforms, that they're both going to be out for the same game. So Stefanski ruled Chubb out today. I think Chubb will be back for October 31st against the Steelers, because they did not put him on IR, and that's an indication that they think he can make it back for that, because he didn't. There will be two games that he would miss instead of the three that he would have to miss if they did put him on IR. So that's good. But right now, yeah, it's one of those things where you look at how decimated they are, and their starting tackles, they did not practice today. Jedrick Wills, left tackle, he's missed the past two games with the ankle injury. Jack Conklin, all pro right tackle, missed Sunday's, what was it, a 37-14 beatdown against the Arizona Cardinals. He missed that game. So we'll see about them. Those are the big ones, right? And then
Real quick. Yeah. I'm going to cut you off real quick. What's the deal with Conklin? All I've seen is a knee injury. I know it kept him out of practice before he missed the game. Like, is it that vague? Is it just knee injury? Do we know what it is? Is it a sprain? Does he have something torn in there? Is there any indication from the Browns what his injury actually is? Because to me, it's super unknown.
No, there's no more specificity to it. But, you know, he left the game in the fourth quarter against the Chargers. And
that's just weird to me that it's like so vague from the team.
Well, you know, these things are treated like super secret, sensitive information, right?
Yeah, nuclear codes, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So, you know, he walked off under his own power. Here's the thing, Dan. Like, obviously, he didn't go on IR. So, you know, if it's like a bad, if it's like a torn MCL or something like that, you know, and like Jarvis Landry, because I was going to mention Jarvis Landry next. You know, if it's one of those 4 to 6 weeks torn MCL, then he would have been on IR. But then again, you know, on the other hand, you say, well, sometimes offensive linemen play through that stuff. And Joe Thomas did, for example. You know, Joe Thomas is the Iron Man of all Iron Men. But I will say that I don't think with Jan Coughlin, it's that serious. Now, you know, I'm sure it's got to be some kind of sprain. Okay, but he's out there on the field, on the practice field, on walkthrough, at walkthrough. Saw him at walkthrough today, but not practicing. So, you know, we'll see. But I kind of get the sense that he's closer than Jedrick Wills. So I don't think it's a serious thing. And again, by not putting on IR, you think that he would, if not play Thursday night, would be back October 31st against the Steelers. Because if a guy's going to be missing three games, you want to put him on IR as soon as possible, so he gets that first. You know, you start the clock on the three games. So that's where that's at. Those are the big ones. But I do want to say, like, you know, if I can find this list real quick, I want to say this real quick. Yeah. As bad as the news is, the Browns, I'm looking at their injured reserve right now. Okay, Jarvis Landry is the big name. He can come back. He's been practicing since Friday. I don't know if he's going to make it for Thursday night, but they have until 4 p.m. to activate him on Thursday. So it could be a very newsy day even before kickoff. We could have a lot of news on Thursday. It has a potential to be around the clock day. We could get official word that Baker Mayfield's good to go on Thursday, and 4 p.m. Thursday is the deadline for the Browns to activate Jarvis for him to be eligible to play in the game that night against the Broncos. So he practiced Friday, practice again today. In terms of like season-ending injuries, the Browns had Chris Hubbard out, triceps surgery. And that's like the biggest name. You know, the linebacker, Jacob Phillips, obviously hurt with the torn biceps. They think he can come back late in the season, though. So I know that the injuries are bad. Really big-name players are injured right now. Odell Beckham Jr., landed on that right shoulder in the game, came back in the game against the Cardinals, but he did not practice today. So we'll see about him for Thursday. Stefanski said he thinks Odell has a chance to play. But so, like, you know, huge names are hurt right now, including the starting quarterback who we spent most of this podcast talking about. But I just, for perspective, a lot of teams have huge name guys who are out for the season. And the biggest name Browns player who is out for the season is Chris Hubbard. You know, your sixth offensive lineman, he has value, but it's not one of your top stars. So, all things considered, you know, they're dealing with a lot of injuries to significant players, but also injuries that should allow guys to come back. And that's really important. You got the 17-game season. You think you're going to be a playoff team. But, hey, I mean, I guess this is a good segue, Dan. I think they have to win Thursday night to really, you know, keep that expectation in you know, the realm of reality.
Yes, they do. I would say this game is the dreaded must win, which is kind of unbelievable that we're saying this already. For this team that came into the season with such high expectations. And boy, I got to tell you, that sigh you had before you said team expected to make the playoffs was quite telling. I got to say, Nate, that was a deep sigh.
To me, the crossroads, all that, Baker was saying it on Sunday night. Our backs are against the wall. I like our chances. We're kind of what we're made of, all that stuff. I don't think any of that's hyperbole. And then John Johnson III came out the next day and said, this is a must-win game. John Johnson came out Monday and said, this is a must-win game. This is a pivotal point of the season. I really believe that, you know, the Browns can feel it. And it's certainly on the outside looking in, but somebody who covers them every day, it really does feel like this could be a turning point. Like, as banged up as they are, you know, this is a home game. Obviously, they're coming off a huge dud, a huge letdown. The Broncos are not good. The Broncos have lost three in a row after winning their first three against some poor teams. I watch them play the Raiders, and the Broncos are just flat out not good. Like, the Raiders just lost their head coach. The Raiders are a mess. Like, the Raiders have some talent, but I mean, with what happened with Gruden, I mean, it's to me kind of surprising that they just went in there and manhandled the Broncos, but the Broncos are just not good. So, like, I don't know, Dan, like, when I look at this, as banged up as the Browns are, and we mentioned it with the star power that they have on offense, that's out of this game, the two-headed monster at running back, the starting quarterback with a, you know, completely torn labrum in a harness and feeling the pain, Odell Beckham Jr. uncertain, Jarvis Landry uncertain, starting tackles uncertain. But on defense, JOK is a good player. I mentioned he might be a top 12 player already on this roster, and it's a talented roster. But other than that, defensively, they're healthy. I mean, they are pretty healthy defensively. And the defense has given up more than 40 points the past two games. Yeah. I think this really falls on the shoulder of the defense, in my opinion, with Pat Shurmur coming in here, calling the plays for Teddy Bridgewater with an offensive line that's a mess for the Broncos. Like, to me, this defense needs to have a return to what it did against the Bears and the Vikings. And I really don't think there's any excuse for why that should not happen.
I agree. This is, look, we've talked about it before. If there's a player of the game for the Browns going into it, to me, this one has to be a Myles Garrett game. You know, like when your other big play guys are down, he's the guy that has to step up. He leads the NFL in sacks, so he's playing really well. But you just need him to kind of be even better somehow, you know, like.
And I think it's going to happen, Dan.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, if you look at this game from the Denver perspective, it's a little bit of a mirror match. You know, 2-3-3 teams that are both struggling. Their defenses have fallen apart the last few weeks. The offense has been kind of blah. Their expensive secondary blows big coverages. That happens in Denver, too. Justin Simmons, their safety there, had a big blown coverage against the Raiders. The Denver's offensive tackle, Garrett Bowles, as we go into this, 2020 All-Pro, he might miss the game. We'll see. But if you're Denver, you're probably looking at this like, hey, they're struggling too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This is a game to steal. And they're playing with a coach in Vic Fangio in his third year. He hasn't done well there. So he's kind of circling the drain a little bit as an NFL head coach right now. So their backs are just as against it as they are for the Browns. So that's what's going to make this one fascinating, beyond the fact that, you know, it's a short week, national television game, prime time, that all that kind of junk. I don't know. This is a weird one. I don't know what to expect, quite honestly.
It is a weird one. Everything you said, I agree with. Their backs are against the wall. There's motivational factors. Hey, they're looking at the Browns, just like you said, and thinking they can come in here and win this game. Von Miller smells the blood in the water with all these injuries. I mean, he said it today that he's going to kill the Browns' offensive tackles. Now, he laughed. I mean, it wasn't like a malicious thing, but he meant he's going to dominate this game, and he wanted to say it publicly from, you know, reading his comments and listening to some sound bites before we got on, Dan. He said it because the point of it was, hey, we were winning earlier in the year when I was playing better, and now we've lost three in a row. I need to kind of put myself out there, put the pressure on myself, throwing a guarantee out there like this. I'm going to have a huge game. I need to put it on myself. So, like, Myles Garrett needs to do that for the Browns, the way that Von Miller, I mean, not saying he needs to create bulletin board material. He already has the quarterback cemetery in his front yard. So there we go. But, you know, that was a fun Halloween thing, by the way. And Teddy Bridgewater isn't on the list. Kyler Murray is, and he sacked Kyler Murray. I love Halloween, so I love it. And yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. But Miles, I'm telling you, he really needs, I couldn't agree more. He needs to dominate, Dan. And think about this. Myles Garrett has been chasing Defensive Player of the Year ever since the Browns drafted him first overall in 2017. He has never been shy about saying it. He leads the NFL in sacks now. He's done it. He's led the NFL in sacks before his last two seasons were derailed by the suspension for hitting Mason Rudolph over the head with his helmet in 2019. And then last year by COVID-19, Miles contracted it. It was never the same after. Obviously he has asthma, and that contributed to the after effects lingering. So we know all those stories, but here he is again. Okay. Six games in, leads the NFL with 8 sacks, in really good position. But do you know what can really help him in his candidacy? A dominant performance in prime time, nationally televised game. Voters are watching. Everyone's watching. So much conversation comes from these games. And I think that that's kind of a carrot that Joe Woods needs to dangle and remind Miles of this week. I think that that could be not that he, you know, doesn't always try and all that. I'm not saying that. But I believe in emotional, motivational factors, because I think that's just the way football is played. And so I think that could be something to tap into for the Browns. But you're right, Dan. Like, I think this defense, like when I watch the Broncos, like I think this defense can get back to a really strong showing that it had weeks ago. But they obviously have to stop shooting themselves in the foot. Like, anybody can beat them if they're just going to let guys run free down the field, right? Like, Teddy Bridgewater can throw passes, even though he's dealing with a foot injury, he's limited, thinks he's going to play, whatever, but he and Baker are banged up. But like, any guy in the NFL is going to be able to capitalize if you're just going to bust coverages left and right. So yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't want to say like this Browns defense is, you know, definitely going to be dominant like it was in those back-to-back games, but I'm saying it should be. If it can clean up its mistakes here, and to me Joe Woods He must, all caps on every letter in that word, streamline and simplify this week. Because they keep screwing up these coverages. And the communication is not there in the secondary. So just make it easy and get through this game and let your defensive line go off. Because, frankly, this offensive line for the Broncos is one that's very vulnerable.
Yeah, and it's just not good, quite frankly. I mean, when it comes down to brass tacks, it's just not a good group of offensive linemen, I don't think, in Denver. But this is a pivotal game. It's a turning point in the season for the Browns. They're about a third of the way through the 17-game season. You know, this will be game seven. So it's a critical point for the Cleveland Browns in this season of super high expectations. Nate, do you have anything else this week before we check on out of here?
Well, do you want to go predictions? Because we do every week.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell everyone this. So I have never switched a prediction from the podcast to what I put in our staff predictions later in the week that, you know, go on our website. But I did last week, and I admitted it in the pick. And the reason was because I said on the pod I was going to pick the Cardinals. Then I got – and I thought it was going to be close. I thought it was going to be a toss-up. And when I learned Friday night, right, the Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive play caller, the head coach, was going to be out – because of COVID-19, I thought, well, that's enough to tip the scales in a game that I think is going to be really tight. So full disclosure, as I explained in my pick, I switched to the Browns because of that COVID-19 news that the Cardinals were dealing with. You know, obviously their best pass rusher, Chandler Jones, is also out. Well, that obviously backfired. The Cardinals rolled. And I shouldn't have switched my pick. But anyway, here we are again with a bunch of injury questions looming. And so I'm going to try not to switch my pick this time because obviously it was the wrong thing to do anyway last week. But I'm going to pick the Browns. I just think that the defense can get right against this team. Okay. And, you know, I know Von Miller said what he said, and I'm sure he's going to come in with his hair on fire, and that's a real concern. But I have laid out the reasons why I think the Myles Garrett can be just as much of a game wrecker, and the Browns are playing at home. I think that it's going to be a weird game and that it's going to be kind of like, you know, a grinded out defensive dominant game similar to that Bears game. I can't get that out of my head, so I guess I'm gonna go Browns 20-13.
I agree, Browns win. That's interesting that you changed your pick last week, because we'll act like you didn't for the purposes of our podcast here. I think Browns win as well. Man, I'll tell you what. These stupid Las Vegas lines. Last week, the Browns game was 52.5 against the Cardinals, the total score. And the game ended up being 51 points in spite of, like, all the weird stuff and the Browns, like, not doing anything. I don't know what kind of voodoo they practice out in Las Vegas, but it's... I don't know how they do it. But anyway, the stupid line this week is 42.5. So I'm going to go, how do I get close to 42? I'm going to go 28-13 Browns with a late touchdown, just a John Kelly late touchdown, just to close it out. That's what I'm going to go with. Yeah. Man, we're going to have a weird podcast next week if the Browns lose, aren't we?
Yeah, we are, because, you know, the season is not over. Certainly not now, but it'll feel like it if they lose to this team on Thursday night. And yeah. It won't necessarily be true, but it's just the fact that they're dealing with all this adversity with some of the biggest name players hurt. And it just, I think there will be an entirely different mindset and mood, not just from the outside looking in, but within Browns headquarters with the players, with the coaches. If they can get over this hump, if they can overcome what they're facing right now and get a win, and then have that mini bye and get some guys back and then head into a huge game to kick off their AFC North slate against the Steelers on Halloween, I think that would just be a completely different vibe than if they lost three in a row and had to really, really kind of do some soul searching over this mini bye. You know, hey, they've never lost back-to-back games in the same season under Kevin Stefanski until now. So three in a row would be such a devastating blow, because, Dan, you're right. There are motivational factors on both sides for both teams right now. The Broncos, as personified by Von Miller, are confident and believe that they can beat this Browns team. But even with all the injuries involved, I think the Browns are the better team and they should win.
Yeah, I agree. Well said there. Let me just plant this in your head for our next podcast. I want to play the schedule game, no matter what happens against the Broncos for the Browns. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to pick it up next week on Cover 2. We have a ton of coverage up on this game already and what's going on with the Browns over at beaconjournal.com/sports/Browns. A lot of stuff. Nate's going to have all the breaking injury news as it happens. Make sure you're following him on Twitter. He's at by Nate Ulrich. And really quickly, a quick shout out to our colleague Marla Ridenour, who just, man, she's a killer. When with Cavs season starting, Marla covers the Cavs as well as what she does with the Browns for us. So check out her Cavs coverage. You'll see it on our website too. There's going to be a lot of good stuff coming from her if you like basketball. So check that out. And again, like I said at the top, download the USA Today Sports Plus app. It's brand new. It's on the Apple Store and the Google Play Store. And if you could, rate and subscribe to our podcast. That would be great as well. So that's going to do it for Cover 2 this week. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we will talk to you next time.